I've been blessed to know him, and he's I think our relationship actually started in some hard places, but we also prayed a lot together for years. And now I just regularly, you know, whenever we're gathering, I just know, hey, are you hearing anything? Hey, is God speaking to you? Hey, is God saying anything? Because he oftentimes does. So we're going to welcome Patrick this morning, and then I'm just going to ask you to join me and pray for him as I turn the service over to him. So let's welcome him. Yay. Yeah. So, Father, we just thank you for this willing vessel, Lord. I know that Patrick desires, Lord, no accolades or attention. He wants it to be on you. But, God, we thank you for a yielded heart. We thank you, Lord, for one man who is passionate to know you and to make you known. And we're asking today, God, that you would use him, God, as a conduit of your spirit, Lord, as a blessing, Lord, as an announcement of your goodness and an invitation into more. We praise you, we bless you, and we thank you for him in Jesus' name. Amen.
There you go, bro. Amen. Thanks so much, Scott. It's the water. Yeah, it's been 9 years that we've known each other, and it did transpire because of my wife's illness and Tuesday night prayer. That just goes to show you how God can take anything that we yield and turn it for something good. So good morning. So good to be here. I really, really, I love you guys. I feel like I'm home here because we're all needed so much to complete the body of Christ. If someone doesn't come today, the body of Christ is incomplete, and that's what it's about, completing the body of Christ because of what we bring. And so like Scott said, he regularly, we connect, he asks if I'm sensing anything or God is speaking anything. And so about 3 weeks ago, I got to Thursday night listening prayer early, which I don't know how that happened, but I ended up here a half an hour early, and I was like, where is everybody? And then I'm like, I'm early. No, it doesn't happen. It's like, and so I sat kind of off to the side. I don't know if you've ever been or not. The room is divided. There's a big part and a little part. I was sitting in the little part, just really, really breathing and really, really just not doing much of anything. Scott walked in on the phone. I think he was talking to one of his grandkids. He was encouraging them, getting all sorts of information, and it was just really good. He didn't know I was there. And then he sits down and realizes I'm there, and he's like, we had a short conversation. And he asked, what is God saying? You know, Scott's been talking about prophecy and what the prophet said, primarily Isaiah, and how that relates to our life and what that does in us and through us and how that inspires us. And I was like, yeah, the picture I see from Scott speaking right now is really a complete picture. And it's a different picture. It's like, what does it mean to live a prophetic life in community? Now, before you stop listening, before you turn your attention elsewhere and say, well, I'm not a prophet. I don't live in community. I don't share a house with everybody here. Give me just a little bit of space. And let's see if we can unpack this and see what we mean, what the Bible says it's like to live in prophetic community. So before we go any further, I would just like to take a moment and join that prayer that Scott offered. Would you pray with me? So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're here. We thank you that you have made each one of us so important for the coming of your kingdom. We thank you that you have a deposit in each one of us that we need to bring and we need to share, we need to engage. Father, we need to worship as one. We need to pray as one. We need to seek you as one. So, Father, would you take this moment of theology as we study you, and would you change it into doxology that we could praise you? So would you turn our study, our seeking into praise, Father, because we want to glorify you. We want to be used by you. And most of all, we want to help Jesus partner with you to bring the kingdom. We thank you that you're doing this and you choose to use us. Amen. Amen. So prophecy, what is prophecy? Prophecy in our context is not what it was in the Old Testament. It's not, thus saith the Lord. If it happens, we're a prophet. If it doesn't happen, we get taken out. That's not the way it goes. Scott led a little bit of teaching on prophecy a couple years ago, on maybe even on Tuesday nights at the old building. And he defined prophecy as the real lifetime of demonstrating God's love to the person in front of you. Showing God how something he has placed on your heart demonstrates how God loves the person in front of you. Prophecy helps us answer the question, how would Jesus relate to those around us in our unique and personal situation? It does this by the active demonstration in real time and experience in showing the love of God through a person, circumstance, situation, or an event. And this all begins when we tune our ears and we open space in our heart to listen to God. If we have ears to hear, if we don't have a heart that's willing to be filled, it's very hard to hear from God. Slight disclaimer, God can use anyone in any circumstance to do his will. If God wants to speak to me, he can use a donkey. He can use a rock. He can use the woman at the checkout in front of me in the grocery store. So God is capable of using anyone. And to prophecy, it doesn't depend on who I am. God really isn't a selector of persons. He will choose to use anybody who is yielded and available. Even if, to me, their life looks like a train wreck. If I have a window of judgment against somebody, more than likely, God is going to use that person to speak to me, because that's the that is how the kingdom is organized. That is how the kingdom is orchestrated, and that's how God loves each one of us so very much. The purpose of the gift of a prophetic life is to enable each one of us to discover our deep heart, which is the place of God's presence in us. It uncovers and quickens our heart. That happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reproves us, cleanses us, and makes our hearts sensitive to receive the word of life, that our heart may be illuminated by Jesus Christ himself, and that his very form, Christ, may be engraved upon our hearts. And when our hearts are renewed, the stain of sin and unbelief is lifted by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're cleansed, we're filled with righteousness, and the instruction of Jesus is renewed within us. So this lines up. We begin, let's take a quick minute here and look at Psalm 51. I think you should all be familiar with Psalm 51. It's after David committed great sin with Bathsheba. And David finds himself in a place of sin, a place of separation from God, and he cries out to God. Psalm 51, verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." This is very, very interesting. You know, the Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out yet in the Old Testament like it is in the New Testament. And yet David knew that his sin had separated from him from God. He needed to be cleansed, and he didn't want God to remove the Holy Spirit, his presence, from him. It continues in verse 17. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." This is one of the keys to entering in to the prophetic lifestyle. Is my heart broken before the Lord? And do I have a contrite spirit? Does that mean, am I willing to pour everything within me out before the Lord? Everything that I hold desire, the hidden sin, the lust, the greed, all those things, the going over the speed limit in a school zone, you know, not telling my kids where the candy is, all these things, am I withholding them from God? Or do I say, Lord Jesus, here they are? I think the church has done us a disservice in that we stop and we only give God our sins and shortcoming. We fail to give God our brokenness. And that broken heart, when I can allow God to sit with me in the most deepest places of my brokenness. God can use my heart in a way that can minister not only to me, but to those around me, because I've taken the risk. I've shared my most heart-wrenching disappointment with God. The wayward child, the untimely death of a spouse, the career that just doesn't work. You know, the house with the roof that leaks that we just can't get stopped. All these things where I face disappointment and brokenness that I feel God doesn't care about, that I want to hold on to myself. God wants our broken heart. And in exchange, when we give God that broken heart, God fills us with his Spirit. And that filling of the Spirit brings relief. It might not change the situation. It might not bring our child home. It might not heal the illness, but it changes the position of our heart. And with that change of position and heart, it changes who we can become before God. And God is able to take the most broken places, the most areas where we have so much disillusion, where God didn't perform like we thought God should perform. And God is able to help us see those through his kingdom lens and the good he can bring out of them when we surrender all of that to Christ. So let's jump a little bit ahead. Let's jump to Acts 2 now, where we're going to figure out a little more about prophecy and actually who can prophesy in our modern context. Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived. Now, Pentecost, does everybody know what Pentecost is? Pentecost means 50 days. It's 50 days after Easter. It's when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the early church for the first time. This is when the covenant changed. This is where the concealing the Holy Spirit through the Old Testament was revealed and poured out on everyone. So when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Picking it up at verse 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my word. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since this is the only third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. As in the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Okay, hold on. Who in here is a son? Raise your hand. Keep your hands up. Who in here is a son? Okay, who in here is a daughter? Raise your hand if you're a daughter. Okay, so does everybody have their hand up? Okay, so who in here can prophesy? I think that includes all of us, because each one of us is either a son or daughter. I will pour my Spirit out on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. I'm not going to say who's young and sees visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. I'm not going to ask who dreams dreams, Scott. And on every male servant and female servant, in those days I will pour out my Spirit and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, so we've already established that everyone, because we're either a son or daughter, has the ability to prophesy. And so this, but we look a little further. If you look at the time period, this was written by the prophet Joel, the Old Testament. Now, Joel knew he was referring to Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. And the 1, 2, and 3 of Joel, they tell so much about what was going on in the time period. Chapter 1 tells about Israel's demise in the Old Testament, how everything just crumbled. Chapter 2 is about what is going to come. And chapter 3 pulls it all together. So Joel, being a good Jewish prophet, knew the Old Testament well. And Peter, knowing the Old Testament well, because he also was a good Jewish man, referred back to Joel when this day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And it says, you know, as in the last days it shall be. And so the last days began on Pentecost. And every day of history that proceeds further moves us closer to the return of Christ. So we have been in the last days for a long, long time. And who knows, we could be in the last days another 3 weeks, another 30 years, or another 3 millennia. I don't have that answer. And it's really irrelevant because we just need to live like Christ is returning tomorrow. So look again, who can prophesy? Your sons and your daughters. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on every male servant and female servant, in those days I will pour out my spirit and I shall prophesy. If you know anything about the Old Testament, near ancient Middle East, the way society was structured, it was built on slavery. And for the biblical account to include that slaves, male and female servants, would also be filled with the Spirit of the Lord and also prophesy, tells you something about how inclusive our God is. There is no one who is outside the ability to receive from God. Male, female, servant, slave, it doesn't matter who you are. God is able to use you and God is able to speak through you. So now that we've established everybody can prophesy, what does a modern day prophet look like? What is the purpose of the prophetic and how do we enter into that? What does life in the prophetic community look like? There are three main goals of the modern day prophetic. That's edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification is improvement, instruction, or enlightenment, especially when morally or spiritually uplifting. Edification means to build up. Sometimes people will have a word to build people up around them. Sometimes someone will speak something that you need to know that no one else could know unless God revealed it to that person for your edification, because you need to be built up, because you need to be lifted, because something in your life needs to be confirmed, or some way that God needs to tell you personally that he sees you and he knows what's going on. Edification. Exhortation means to admonish. Admonishment. That reminds somebody where the boundaries are, to warn someone and also to encourage. Now, the Holy Spirit will never humiliate us, especially in public, but the Holy Spirit will humble us. Many times, I have to be real careful with my actions like we all do, but I have 3 sons. And my youngest son can see through me around the block. I mean, I can think something that is not anywhere near where it should be. It falls outside of the boundaries of good, and my youngest son can just mention it in conversation. That is admonishment. That is God moving through my son, helping me remember where I need to stay in the bounds. And it's very, very good because I don't want to include the rest of you, but I tend to push the boundaries. If God says I can only go 57, I'm going to go 56.999 and maybe 57.1 because I like to push that boundary. I like to see how close to the edge I can get. It's really stupid because God gives us boundaries. God draws them in pleasant places so that we are good, so that the space we live in is occupied by God's presence and all that he has for us. So exhortation can bring us back to the place we need to be, into the center of God's will. Now, the third reason for prophecy is comfort. Now, I think we all understand comfort to some degree. However, prophetic comfort reaches into the deepest hurts we have, and at most time, no one knows what those deepest hurts are except the Holy Spirit. It could be some deep wound from long, long ago that you have never told anyone about. Someone can send you a text and say, I'm praying about X, or I just thought about this. Does this apply to you? someone can put their shoulder on you during the service and offer a word of prayer and touch that area. But comfort is probably the biggest way I know modern day prophecy. There have been numerous times when I have had someone speak to me, my youngest son included, or someone send me a text, or someone send me an email, someone send me a book, someone speak a word into me about exactly what is going on in my life that they have no idea, no clue, no understanding about. And that's the prophetic. That's God demonstrating his love for me in real time so I understand God sees me, God loves me, I have not been abandoned, I have not been forsaken, even though it is nowhere near the way I would like my life to be. And that the longer I follow Jesus, the more I'm beginning to learn that what my ideal of life should be and what God has in store for me don't really overlap. I mean, it's like, well, Jesus, this isn't what I thought it would look like. And Jesus is like, that's funny. Did I ask you? I mean, it's not what is my commitment level to Jesus? Do I want to align with what he has for me? All the good. But friends, good is not singing kumbaya around a campfire with a plate full of s'mores. That's a distorted, self-created image of good. Good means walking alongside of someone when they're going through the most tragic loss they could ever imagine. Good means sitting in silence next to someone when you don't even know what to say because you don't understand the pain they carry. Good means showing up again and again and again and again and again, even when we don't receive what we think we deserve. God is sovereign. That means God has his eternal love, his hesed covenant love directed towards us. And in his sovereignty, in that hesed love, God is always good. That means there will come a day. There will come a day when we are victorious beyond belief because of God's goodness. I mean, just look at the book of Job, how everything he had was taken away. And God restored him on earth many, many times over. We have that great day to look forward to. And that restoration will be amazing and incredible, but the presence of Jesus will supersede any form of restoration we could imagine. Prophecy brings the kingdom a little bit closer so we can feel the love of God in real time through the real circumstance we have in front of us. So how do we begin to move in the prophetic? Going back to what John Wimber said, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. I'm not different than anybody else. I don't live a sin-free life. I don't spend countless hours every day on my knees in front of the scriptures. But I do have a heart that's willing to act. And friends, it terrifies me. When I have a dream about somebody, more than likely, I act on it. And that is one of the things that I'm learning, that action step really, really cements my ability to be used. If I have an impression about somebody, my response is action towards them. It's always from a posture of, I don't know what this means, or this might be for you, but taking that risk enlarges the space in my heart where the Holy Spirit can move. Some of you might have received a text from me that makes absolutely no sense. Some of you might have received a text from me that makes a whole lot of sense. That is me acting on what God has laid on my heart to do. And that has, God has prompting, that I feel God is prompting me to move so that I can help bring God's kingdom a little bit closer. And I don't think, at least it hasn't gotten easier for me. Maybe the space, being uncomfortable in space, has gotten a whole lot easier for me. But acting on the promptings of the Holy Spirit, I don't think that gets easier. I think you just have to learn to do it. And there is an element of space for failure. I've been really, really, really wrong. But taking that risk to be wrong, the person I am talking to still can be brought into the conversation. Oh, wow. Does God really see me? And if God sees me, could God really speak to me through another person? Now this really aligns with what, let's see. There are four principles we have to remember. We know God through the study of Scripture. We know God through tradition. What has the church done historically to connect through God? We know God through experience. How has God met me? And we also know God through revelation. Prophecy is that window of revelation where God moves very, very deep within all of us. So how did I get here? A little bit more about that. I really believe that continually showing up, participating wholeheartedly in worship, connects us to not only the body of Christ here, but the larger body of Christ. In November of 2017, I started an experience which led to my formal theological training and all of that. But one of the worship leaders at that event said, no matter what you do, sing as loud as you can. He's like, if you don't bring everything you have to worship, not only is God not pleased, but the person sitting next to you misses out on what you have to offer. And I personal experience here, I have the joy of most Sundays sitting behind Esther over here. What she brings to worship, not only a beautiful voice, but her spirit, I am blessed because she shows up and she sings. We all are blessed when we show up and we sing. The body of Christ is only complete when we show up and we bring what God has put in us. So we have to find a place to engage in worship on a regular basis. Because if we don't, everybody misses out. We also have to have community. People who know us more than just, hi, how are you on a Sunday morning. We have to have people we take time to meet with regularly and pray with. We have lots of opportunities here. If you don't have that opportunity, come on Thursday night to listening prayer. Listening prayer has once again become really close to the Sunday experience for me. We gather, we offer a few songs of worship, and we listen. The Holy Spirit has been so kind the last several weeks in revealing more of who he is and how he wants to love us in that time. And then you have to have some relational engagement. You have to have people who you sit with and you talk about the reality of life on a regular basis through the lens of Scripture. I am blessed. I have a couple friends I meet with almost every other Wednesday night, and we come together, we discuss a little bit of Scripture, we discuss a whole lot of life, and we end up giving it all back to Jesus when we're done. And that fills that extended worship period of church for me in a way. And what that does, again, that opens up a deeper space in my heart to be healed, to minister to other people, and to see where God is moving and what direction he would have me go in. So those are elements of what it's like to live in a prophetic community. So anyone who is here, if you're a son or a daughter, and if you're breathing, you have the opportunity to engage deeper in prophetic community. It takes a risk. It takes commitment. You have to show up. You have to show up continually, and you have to bring your baggage. You have to bring the good things. You have to bring the cookies, and you have to bring the dirty Kleenex you need to throw away. You have to bring everything with you, because when we leave parts behind, we leave God out of areas of our life. Now, there are two impressions that I've had since, Scott, as we're talking, the 9 years, Scott has shown me how God has maybe using me in a little bit of a prophetic way in those 9 years. One impression that I had very, very strongly at the old building, and it carried over to the new building, is of this giant pitcher that is pouring out water over the top of this building. And it's like this pitcher that will not stop pouring. And it's continually here. And what I feel it brings that God is pleased to pour out his spirit on everyone who dwells here. Everyone, sons, daughters, free, slave. It doesn't matter. God wants us to receive bountifully from what he has to offer. All we have to do is open ourselves to receive. That could be healing, that could be restoration. I don't know the limitation of what it could be. All I know is I continually see a very, very full picture being poured out over this house for everyone who enters to partake of. The second impression that I get is primary to this location. It's primarily this space up here. It's of this large table, kind of reminiscent of the Last Supper-ish. It's a one-sided table that runs the length of the entire sanctuary up here. And there are people, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, on this side of the table, and they're deeply engaged in fellowship. They're having a meal. You could say they're taking communion, partaking of the body and the bread, of the blood and the wine together at the table. But they have an open sense that everyone who is here needs to come and receive from the table, because the other side of the table is empty. I really feel that is a charge for those of us who call this house our home, that we have a job to do. We have an assignment, if you would, to fill the other side of the table. God has not given us gifts. God has not blessed us with his bounty. God has not provided for us in very generous ways for us to keep it to ourselves. God has created us as his agents of bringing his kingdom to invite others to the table. It's like the table will not be filled until we do our part to invite others. And that invitation, once again, that requires risk. It's like, do you want to join me at church on Sunday? Well, I don't know if my friends would like it. I mean, I can't even get my kids to come with me. It's like, it's hard. It's challenging. It makes us uncomfortable, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. Because the table only gets bigger, but it doesn't get filled up. There's always room. So what would it look like for you if this week you seriously thought about, you prayed about how God would have you be more active in prophetic life and community? What does that mean for your participation with this house? What does that mean for your participation in the larger community? What does that mean for participation in your own home group? How does God want to use you in this hour, in this season on the earth, to prophesy, to exhort, to bring comfort, to edify the body? What is your place, and how do you see yourself fitting into that? So remember, the pitcher continues to pour out, and the table isn't filled. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through your word. We thank you that we have a rich tradition, a heritage, forefathers who have gone before us to lay the groundwork. We thank you that you reveal yourself to us through experience. And most of all, we thank you that you continue to reveal yourself to us. So, Jesus, I would ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit right now in this place, that you would awaken something deeply inside of each one of us, that you would help us act on how you're moving, that you would allow us to put aside all fear, all risk of embarrassment, all uncomfortableness, to help partner with you, Jesus, to bring your kingdom. So I would ask right now that you begin by giving each one of us a very, very simple picture of your love for us. Jesus, you have made us in your image. You've designed us each uniquely. So God, would you show us the place that you have made us, that you delight in us? God, that we could feel your delight in us as you've made us, as you've fitted us into your kingdom. So Jesus, I thank you that you're faithful. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're able. And Almighty God, I thank you that you call us to repentance. You show us humility. And most of all, you accept our worship and praise. Amen.
Thank you, Patrick. You were prophetic because I was greatly encouraged. We're going to take a minute here. And I believe the Holy Spirit is here just to activate some prophetic stuff in our lives. I believe God would do what he said he would do, and oftentimes we just have to give him an opportunity to confirm such a thing. Now, this might be unusual for you in church to say we're actually just going to expect God to use somebody to prophesy. And remember what he said, the New Testament prophecy isn't I'm going to predict the future to you. The New Testament version is the Holy Spirit is here with words of encouragement and really the comfort that you may need, whatever the Holy Spirit may have for us. But we have to kind of make room for it. So we're just going to make room for it here this morning. And, there's some prophetic people here, you know, and those of you who have been trained in the prophetic through some of the classes. But somebody just approached me. In this last week, and I'm just thinking I might just have somebody go get her, but Mary Duquet approached me, and I don't know if she's probably in the children's department, but she's out, she's gone, okay, she ditched us, Kyle, it's your mother-in-law, how dare, okay, it's okay, it's okay, we'll call her out, but she just said, you know, I really feel like the Holy Spirit is increasing the prophetic unction. She was just talking about recently just being in a couple, you know, just normal day routine places and God giving her his heart for people in Walmart and, you know, different places. And I'm like, there's something going on. I know others, but it's so important that we actually, sometimes we don't have a New Testament understanding of the prophetic, and that can block us of recognizing that you don't have to be a prophet to prophesy. Jesus is a prophet and he's in you by his Spirit. Okay, that's the best way I can say it. But also that the Holy Spirit, when he brings a message like this forward, that if we'll receive it, there's actually an activation to that area of our heart that may have formerly just, we've been sort of unaware or maybe unawakened to. And so with that in mind, we're just going to take a minute. Maybe if Jeff wouldn't mind, or Jenna, maybe just give us a little bit of worship music here. You know, Jesus is bringing out some new wine. And as we just kind of set our affections again, say, Holy Spirit, right now, we just thank you. We thank you, God, for this word of what you're doing in us, drawing us into understanding prophetic community. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, God, that we're all, if we know you, we're either a son or a daughter. And as such, we carry your spirit. And Lord, that we can exercise our faith. We can say, okay, God, you really want to use me to speak comfort or exhortation or edification or, Lord, the things that that would deeply impact or enlighten. So, Lord, I just here to say yes to that today. We're here, God, to receive what you have for us. We just wait upon you now, God, that there'll be there those gathered right here in this house who are saying, yeah, I think there's something in me that needs to be released and stirred up. Others, you may never have ever considered this, but yet you saw in the Word where it says that after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, sons and daughters will prophesy, yet I've never even fathomed that I could do that. Today, I believe God could take the experience, make it real, off of the page and into your experience. Father, we just wait on you. We thank you today. Holy Spirit, that you stir up these gifts. Holy Spirit, that you confirm that you are moving in our midst, because God, we can't do what you call us to do in our natural strength. That we need your gifts, presence and functional, operating, God, through each and every member of the body. Thank you. Thank you, Spirit of God. You know, one of the ways that I've just described what we call personal prophecy, because that's really what we're talking about. Prophecy in our collective community. I always love the term high-tech love. It's love that passes from heaven through you to another. You have to be yielded to it, but when the person that you're praying for or speaking to, they realize, that was God that just used you to touch me. High-tech love. And so this morning, we just want to give an invitation to receive God's high-tech love, maybe an activation or an awakening of it. Maybe a confirmation. But there's always risk. That's one thing that I appreciate so much that our brother shared today. There's just, maybe there's something in the kingdom. I don't know what it is, but when it comes to being people of faith, which was the word that the Lord gave to Jenna today, is that we need to receive it by faith. Faith and risk are interchangeable. You kind of have to put yourself out there and risk missing it. But without risk, there's no reward. The reward of being able to be used by God to express his love, to touch somebody who is in need. It's what you're created for. So we're going to open up the altar this morning and say, as an invitation, you know, Patrick's encouragement today has stirred you or just made you hungry, and you want to receive prayer. I believe the Holy Spirit will meet you. And use this gray line up here as just a place to come and stand. And you want to receive prayer. Maybe we have a prophetic word for you, because we're going to ask the Lord to do that. Maybe there's just a deepening or a releasing of the prophetic gift in you. Maybe you've thought, I'm not even prophetic. What are we talking about? It's probably a good opportunity for you then to come forward and let God confirm his word. Because Jesus is in you, you are prophetic. So we're going to open up the altar now. Invite you to come. If you have to go on, get on your way today, you know, something that's pressing or whatever, just feel free to go. We love you and we're glad you're with us today. But I believe there's an activation, a Holy Spirit activation, if we'll take the risk today and answer his invitation. And so we want to make that available for you. But Father, we just thank you now. Lord, those who have to go, Lord, we bless them in Jesus' name. But Lord, as we wait upon you here, we're thanking you, Holy Spirit, for pouring out even now, for stirring up even now, for releasing even now, God. Unlocking hearts into this realm of the prophetic community. Lord, stirring our faith even now into the realm, Lord, of carrying you with greater confidence, Lord, even holy awe, God, but confident that you will show up even in our weakness. God, that we could open our mouths and you would fill it. That's what you promised us. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.